and welcome to our broadcast. We're continuing in Nehemiah chapter 9. Have your Bible ready. As we have traveled through the book of Nehemiah, we've seen in the first seven chapters, we have the prelude to a great revival. Then in chapter 8, we have some information concerning that revival. And then as we get into chapter 9, we see some of the results of the revival. Now it says in chapter 9 and verse number 1 that in the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, with sackcloth, and earth upon them. We saw in our last program that this was a common outward expression of repentance. We see here also that they separated themselves from all strangers. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 3, we read, "And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God." Now we have some interesting things here. They were in their place. You didn't have to go out and get some people to go visit them and coax them to come to the meeting. There's a revival underway, and the revival is in their heart, and they had it in their heart to be at the meeting. You didn't have to coax them to be there. They wanted to be there. Then we read that they read in the book of the law of the Lord their God. They read in the book of the law. Now, it wasn't a case of saying, well, let's just get a verse here, and then we will preach from it. And most of the time, they preach about as far from it as you can get. No, they read the book of the law 1/4 part of the day. One thing is for sure, if a revival is a Bible revival, then a person who is revived is going to have a strong desire for the Word of God. We have many so-called revivals today where it's just a hootenanny, play a whole lot of emotional music, and then rant and rave and run across the stage and yell and scream, and then give an invitation and have it run for a half an hour or so, begging people to come down the aisle. That's not what is going on here in Nehemiah. I remember back in the 60s, when Fundamental Independent Baptists used to preach against the Pentecostals who were guilty of doing that. And now in our so-called revival, so-called here lately in North Carolina, I find Fundamental Independent Baptists doing exactly the same thing they preached and criticized the Pentecostals for doing back in 1960. That's not a revival. Now in verse number 4 and verse number 5, we have a group of people listed here who were in both cases the Levites. They were the leaders. And we find what happened in this meeting. We said that they were in an attitude of confession, of repentance. Now we're going to look at these verses and just travel down through, because God has given us this prayer of repentance here. Verse 6. Thou, that's referring to God, even thou art Lord God alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Now notice, the focus here is on the Lord and who he is and what he does. Verse 7, thou art the Lord, the God who did choose Abraham and broughtest him up out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he goes on to talk about the good things that God had done for Abraham. And then at the end of verse number 8, we read, they said, for thou art righteous. Verse 9 continues, and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and hear us their cry by the Red Sea, and show us signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dwelt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. Verse 11. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Sinai, and spake with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, and true laws, good statutes, and commandments, and madest known unto them the holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. Verse 15. And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. And so the focus here for these first 15 verses is on God, who he is, and what he's done, and how the people of God ought to be so thankful for him. But, it says in verse 16, they and our fathers, number one, dealt proudly. Number two, they hardened their necks. Number three, they hearkened not to thy commandments. Number four, they refused to obey. Five, neither were mindful of thy wonders which thou didst unto them. Six, they hardened their necks. And seven, in their rebellion, they appointed a captain to return to their bondage, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, this is thy God that brought thee out of Egypt and brought great wonders, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsaketh them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them by the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldeth not the manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Verse 22 continues, moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, so they possessed the land of Shihon, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multipliest thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning which thou had promised their fathers, and they should go in to possess it. Verse 24 says, so the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Well, how did they respond to God being so good to them? Verse 26, nevertheless, they were, one, disobedient. Two, they rebelled against thee. Three, and cast thy law behind their backs. And four, slew the prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And five, And five, they wrought great provocations. That word has been translated blasphemies three times. How did God deal with that? 27, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies and vex them, and in time of their trouble when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. How did they respond to that? Verse 28, but after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercy. Verse 29, and testifieth against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they, number one, dealt proudly. Number two, hearkened not unto thy commandments. Number three, sinned against thy judgments. Number four, withdrew the shoulder. And number five, hardened their neck and would not hear. How did God respond to that? Verse 30, yet many years didst thou forbear them and testify against them by thy spirit in thy prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now, therefore, keep in mind, this is the prayer that they are praying, a prayer of confession. 32. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that has come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Verse 33, they said, howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in their great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. Verse 36, behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and of the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. Verse 37, and it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. Verse 38, and because of all this we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. Now notice they said, in verse number 37, we are in great distress. Keep in mind, this is after the walls were built, the walls are finished. They're not saying, wow, we got the walls all finished now and everything looks good. No. After all that, they said, realizing their personal condition before God, we are in great distress. Oh yeah, Jerusalem looks a lot better than it did 52 days ago, but we are in great distress. We're living in an age when we finished our fancy buildings, we've got the walls up, we've got the paved parking lot, we've got the padded pews, we got everything we think we need. What we need to realize is we are in great distress. Now, how they handled it back then Verse 38 again, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. This is what they did after the revival. After the motion of what we read about in chapter 8, now we see, let's get down to where the shoe leather meets the pavement, and let's do something about it. Well, chapter 10 begins with these words, verse number 1, now those that sealed were, and then we have a list of all the individuals who sealed this covenant before God. Tune into our next program, we'll have a look at that.